Remember when the Supreme Court in the summer of 2010 ruled that corporations and unions had freedom of speech and the right to raise and spend unlimited amounts of money to support or criticize political candidates? That gave birth to the Super PAC. The one rule? These organizations can't coordinate directly with candidates' campaigns. Today we want to ask, how's that going? According to critics like Stephen Colbert, who founded his own Super PAC called Americans for a Better Tomorrow, it's not going well. Critics say campaigns, which are limited in how much money they can raise, are simply sending operatives across the street to set up super PACs to raise unrestricted money. And then they mask ads about the candidates as ads about issues. In fact, recently, Karl Rove's American Crossroads super PAC went so far as to ask the Federal Election Commission if it could produce an ad fully coordinated with a candidate without having to have it counted as coordinated. In response, Colbert featured struggling presidential candidate Buddy Romer in an ad of his own.
See, I didn't pay for it. Colbert Super PAC did, and Super PACs are not supposed to coordinate with candidates like me. But because this is an issue ad about Super PACs not coordinating with candidates, I can be in it as long as I don't say, "F for me." I say that argument is just a fig leaf. So super PACs can justify doing anything they want. And they have a lot of money, folks. They built this fake set with fake books filled with real money. Hell, they even bought Colbert a unicorn.
All perfectly legal, Rainbow.
I'm Buddy Romer, and I approve this message. Did you?
To Narnia.
Let's catch up on this relatively new political animal, the Super PAC, with Sheila Krumholz, Executive Director at the Center for Responsive Politics, a nonprofit that tracks money in political campaigns at opensecrets.org. She joins us from the NPR studios in D.C. Sheila, welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Did I get that right, that Karl Rove's group actually asked if they could have an ad that would feature the candidate, would be coordinated with the candidate's campaign, but wouldn't fall under the coordinated rule?
Yes, they made that argument stating that this would be an issue ad, not a campaign ad. And so by using a different description and by kind of following in the steps of former groups coming before them running similar ads, they're slowly, you know, adding to the effort to chip away at the last remaining limits.
Well, what did the Federal Election Commission rule in response to their request?
Well, like so many other advisory opinions that have been put before them, they deadlocked. It's three liberal or Democratic appointees, three conservative appointees on the commission, and three against three. They often end up with no advice at all, and that's where we stand today.
Right, and some are saying that American Crossroads might say, oh, that's a yes, and so go ahead and run their ad. But putting that aside, let's back up and explain, because you mentioned issue ads. Before super PACs, way before, there were PACs, just political action committees. What were their requirements?
So political action committees must report to the Federal Election Commission their contributions and expenditures, and those contributions and expenditures are limited. They can receive $5,000 per year per individual, and they can contribute up to $10,000 in a normal cycle, $5,000 for the primary, $5,000 for the general, to a federal candidate. They can also run independent expenditures, which are political ads or other expenditures in support of attacking or defending a candidate, as long as they raise the money for those ads in limited amounts.
And these restrictions were in place because of campaign finance reform. There was the McCain-Feingold Act, and that pretty much said that there couldn't be these unlimited contributions from corporations or unions. And that set up some of the restrictions. There were also 527s.
Right. And 527 organizations refers to the part of the tax code that governs political organizations that run these kinds of issue ads. For many years, these ads were really pushing the envelope and crossing the line, many said, into campaigning on behalf of or against a candidate.
Right, because 527s, again, were allowed to have these issue ads that were supposed to be just about issues, but it quickly became mountaintop mining. What an issue. And boy, that candidate XYZ is terrible on the issue of mountaintop mining. So they sort of became attack ads against candidates as opposed to purely issue ads.
Right. And the benefit of organizing under the 527 code is that you could raise unlimited sums from unlimited sources, unlike PACs, which were, again, received limited contributions.
So we had these PACs that could do, limited contributions. You had 527s that were supposed to only do issue ads. Then along comes the Supreme Court Citizens United decision, summer of 2010. This was the case brought by the makers of that film critical of Hillary Clinton. The filmmakers won. The Supreme Court ruled that corporations and unions do have free speech and can contribute to things like that film and ads. And then there was another court decision regarding SpeechNow.org. And in that case, courts ruled that if groups didn't coordinate with candidates, they could spend unlimited amounts. So what are people saying about that coordination?
Everyone now agrees that the coordination is a very thin line here between the candidates and the super PACs that are promoting them. And so many of the donors to these super PACs are close former colleagues and coworkers. Restore Our Future, the super PAC of Mitt Romney. Many of the big donors come from Bain Capital, the firm he founded. So there is a close coordination on the donor side. There's an even closer coordination on the administrative side for these super PACs, many of which have been formed by the former top lieutenants and campaign strategists of the candidates they now support.
And it's happening on the left as well.
Oh, yes. On the liberal side, we have Priorities USA, Action, and also American Bridge 21st Century, both of which were set up to support the Democratic nominee, obviously, President Obama, and were formed by, at least in terms of Priorities USA, former ex-Obama White House staffers, Bill Burton and Sean Sweeney. For American Bridge 21st Century, that was formed by David Brock, CEO of Media Matters, a liberal organization, and chaired by Kathleen Kennedy Townsend. So very powerful Democratic operatives. And then, of course, on the right, you don't get any more powerful than Karl Rove, a GOP operative, and his colleague, Ed Gillespie, former RNC chairman.
And there's supposed to be 120 days after operatives leave a campaign before they can work on a super PAC. That doesn't always happen. Sheila Krumholz is with the Center for Responsive Politics. We're talking about super PACs, groups that rose out of court decisions granting unlimited spending on candidates as long as those groups don't coordinate with campaigns. That's led to some Olympic gymnastics on the part of candidates. Here's an ad that's airing in some battleground states.
The world is literally collapsing. And no one has shown up we can trust as a conservative.
Who actually has a chance to win.
And not some phony who tells me one thing and you another.
Where's that guy?
Well, the ad goes on to say that guy is former Utah governor and Republican presidential hopeful John Huntsman. And at the end, there's this.
Our Destiny PAC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Our Destiny PAC, pretty much funded by John Huntsman's billionaire father. And according to reports, Huntsman's team would like him to ask his dad for more funding. He's loath to do that, but he can't directly anyway because that's coordinating. There's not much of a firewall on that. And there are a lot of other questions we want to get to as well. For instance, why does Karl Rove have a super PAC, American Crossroads? And then another group, Crossroads GPS. What's up with that? But Sheila, let's just finish the questions about that requirement that super PACs don't coordinate with campaigns. Before the break, we mentioned John Huntsman. His father is the main contributor to Our Destiny PAC. That's a super PAC which supports Huntsman. And, you know, candidates like Huntsman are limited in the contributions they can ask for. So we're reading that they have to contort themselves to ask their fathers or anyone for help with the super PAC, that they have to do it with a wink?
Yes, it's not allowed for the candidate to ask for unlimited donations to these supposedly independent super PACs which promote their candidacy, except that they can participate in fundraisers where they can encourage people to contribute to their campaign in limited amounts, and then they simply hand off the mic to the super PAC representative who can say, and then now, you know, keep your wallets open for the super PAC.
So the candidate could be standing right there. He just can't say it.
That's right.
Or in the case of John Huntsman, we understand he can say, Dad, I'd love you to get in touch with this super PAC. I'm not going to mention any details about dollars above $5,000, you know, which is the restriction. But someone else might talk to you about it.
You know, there are all kinds of conversations going on between people who are closely connected to the candidate and the super PACs that are out there hustling for them. And, you know, this is all in the honor system. There's very little oversight and enforcement about protecting that independence. And frankly, I think there is even less interest, even on the part of the Federal Election Commission. With Citizens United and the Speech Now decisions in the rearview mirror, I think people just feel like, you know, this is the Wild West. All bets are off. There's no harm in coordination.
Well, but there's also another twist, because we haven't yet mentioned 501Cs. And now, as we said, super PACs are only supposed to focus on politics, and they must disclose their donors, and they're not allowed to coordinate with the campaigns. 501Cs, these are nonprofits, are not supposed to focus only on politics, and they can keep their donors anonymous. But you have the Koch brothers, the conservatives who've long backed Tea Party backing candidates. They founded Americans for Prosperity as a 501c. Does anyone believe that Americans for Prosperity is anything but politics, which would seem in violation of what a nonprofit that can keep donors private is supposed to be?
I'm sure there are those who feel that their work extends beyond pure politics, but I think the vast majority of Americans understand them and their brethren, these other 501c organizations that are heavily involved in running political ads, as being primarily political, despite the fact that at least for 501c4s, they are supposed to be primarily to support the social welfare. So they can perhaps spend 49% of their funds on political activities, including ads. But who knows really how much they're spending of their total receipts on politics. And people may or may not be familiar with Americans for Prosperity, but by now I think many Americans are familiar with American Crossroads because of its association with Karl Rove. But American Crossroads and its nonprofit counterpart, Crossroads GPS, is, I think, even less likely to escape people's radar as a political organization.
This is Karl Rove's group. American Crossroads is his super PAC, but then they also created a 501c partner to that, the Crossroads GPS, and in that they're allowed to keep their donors private.
As long as Crossroads GPS does not spend the majority of their funds on political activities, including political ads, they can keep their donors completely under the radar.
So, Sheila, where do you think this is going? I mean, super PAC spent about $80 million on the 2010 midterms, according to OpenSecrets.org, your website. So far in the 2012 cycle, 247 super PACs have spent almost $7 million. What do you expect the cycle to cost?
This is a presidential cycle, so I would expect the spending will be well beyond $300 million. In fact, American Crossroads and Crossroads GPS alone have predicted that they will spend $240 million. So, you know, what could it reach? You know, perhaps it would be $500 million, $600 million, a billion. It's hard to say,
right.
But clearly it's going to be way above what the spending was in the midterm election, which most view as just a toe in the water anyway.
It just feels as if, this is such a new thing, but it feels as if it's something that's grown in a petri dish beyond any capability for any government to pull it back.
Well, the American people can call for increased disclosure, if not agitate for more new limits. So I think it's going to take that. I mean, right now we're in a situation where the watchdogs at the Federal Election Commission and at the Internal Revenue Service, which govern these super PACs and these nonprofit organizations, are viewed as being toothless, if not asleep. Bottom line is, it's always up to the public, not just to be informed, but to be informed about who the message is coming from, because we are about to withstand a barrage of advertising. Much of it will be mudslinging from these unknown groups that pop up and are funded by either unknown donors or donors that may be disclosed, but we still don't know what this company is or does. And so it's up to us really to become savvy about who these groups are so that we can consider the source and the credibility of the message they put forth.
Sheila Krumholz, Executive Director at the Center for Responsive Politics, a nonprofit that keeps tabs on the money in political campaigns. Their website, opensecrets.org. To see a list of super PACs and their donors and the candidates they support, we'll have that for you from them at hereandnow.org. Sheila, thanks so much.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.